You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. 4 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Gym class for a Tuesday coming your way right here on KGYM on this sunny but chilly Tuesday afternoon. Scott Unash from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Good show coming up for you. Cal Eldred, the pitching coach for the Kansas City Royals, will be joining us, and we will talk about the World Series, which may conclude tonight, Game 6. Can the Dodgers put it away and win their first World Championship since 1988? We will find out. They're going to go with the bullpen game tonight, and Tampa needs to win, too, to win their first championship for the Rays. We'll kick that around. Kirk Ferentz with his weekly talk with the media earlier on today in Iowa City as Iowa gets ready to take on the Northwestern Wildcats on Saturday afternoon. That'll be a 2:35 kickoff. ESPN on the coverage. We'll have Before the Boom coming your way at 12:30 on 107.5 along with 106.3 FM for that. And also, while we're talking about Kirk Ferentz, just to let you know, we've got coaches' cuts coming up later on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And that is brought to you Tuesdays throughout the Hawkeye football season. It's brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They are found online at NCSEI.com. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. And I bring in the birthday boy, Mark Dukes. Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you very much, Scott. Buttons, everyone. I've had practice. I've had a few. But
a few birthdays, not a few drinks or anything like that today.
No, that's for sure. But after a while, it seems to morph into to just another day. But then I'm reminded, I mean, if you're on Facebook and other platforms that people, easy for people to reach out, and it's been gratifying to get so many nice messages today.
Yeah, well, great, and happy birthday from Buttons and I.
And thank you very much.
We hope you have a good one out there. Plenty to talk about today. We mentioned Kirk Ferentz. We'll talk a little baseball. 6:30 tonight on all our frequencies for the World Series. Game number 6 coming your way this evening. Right here on KGYM. News of the day, though, and this one is a little bit strange, but again, it's one of those that, you think about it, yeah, that makes sense. College game day is going to Augusta, Georgia, Mark. They will be live from the Masters coming up, as the Masters, of course, played in November for the first time. Saturday, November the 14th, College game day will be somewhere that a lot of people spend their whole lives trying to get to, and that is the hallowed grounds of Augusta National Golf Club.
It's kind of a strange one. There was a day that Augusta National wouldn't allow any such thing to happen.
They would have laughed in ESPN's face if they had suggested this.
Yes, they would have, but it's an interesting... I haven't looked at the matchups in college football that day, whether there wasn't much to pick from or what, but interesting that ESPN College Game Day is going to Augusta. And you think about it, there's a lot of golfers, big college football fans. They played at Alabama. They played at Georgia. They played at Texas. I'm with Tom Cakert, our friend Tom Cakert. He recommended Zach Johnson be the guest picker on college game day. Let's get that movement going.
Let's get that thing going, and hopefully that will work. But there are a lot of people that would like to be the guest picker, let's face it. All right? That would love to do that?
Absolutely. And it'd be interesting to see who, if anybody, they pick. I'm sure they'll pick someone, but they're going to start early in Augusta, too, because of the sunlight.
Yes.
So It's going to be interesting to see how that all unfolds.
It will be. Interesting. Yeah, with the sun going down so early, you're going to have, a lot of golf played early on. They're talking about 11 o'clock for the broadcast times. I know we'll have it from Westwood One on the radio. They're going to start their coverage at 11 o'clock in the morning and be wrapped up by 3:30 so that they can play in the warmest part of the day, and they are insured of sunshine. So it's going to be a different Masters, top to bottom anyway. So we'll see.
College game day at Augusta National. And one more thing in 2020 I thought I'd never see.
Indeed. 319-366-1600. And that is the text line available to you out there. If you would like to weigh in, we'll talk with Cal Eldred coming up in just a little bit. Well, sorry, Mark, we're going to spoil your birthday and look back a little bit at Monday Night Football last night. It didn't look bad on the scoreboard, but I don't think the Rams were really ever really seriously pushed by your Chicago Bears last night.
No, and I would agree with that. I'm smart enough to know what I see, and that was a bad Bears football team last night. And it's a team that had beaten Tampa Bay, had won a lot of close games, not the best 5-1 team, maybe the worst 5-1 team in the league. But last night, the Rams exposed them. The defense, solid for the most part, most of the game, but they were on the field too long. This Bears team, we knew going in, cannot run the ball, have not been able to run the ball. They got a couple offensive linemen now, James Daniels, and I'm not sure who the other one was, but still no excuse, man. If you can't run the ball in the National Football League, you're going to get exposed. And Foles was running for his life, made some bad decisions. It just ended up an awful night for the Bears. And let's just throw this in, too. The Rams are pretty good.
They are good. They are good. And, boy, the NFC West is good. Just really. Remember the NFC West was the NFC East about, 6 or 7 years ago? Before the Seahawks got really rolling, they were, I believe, 7-9 going into the playoffs. Might have been 8-8, and people were complaining about that. We would love to see the NFC East winner get to 7-9 this year. I don't think it's going to happen with Dallas looking at their third-string quarterback. By the way, let me get this out there. I'm sorry, Buttons. I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry. But if it was any other name on the top of the stat sheet for this Sunday night's football game on NBC for Sunday Night Football, it would have been flexed out 300 days ago. With Dallas and Philadelphia. Yeah. But it's Dallas and Philadelphia. Sorry, it's not Philadelphia. It's the Big D, and they are not flexing it out. So America gets to watch Dallas and Philadelphia with a third-string quarterback coming up on Sunday night.
Somebody's got to win, right? I can't imagine seeing Button's face right now, the way the Cowboys just were thrashed last Sunday. And it just there's internal strife with head coach Mike McCarthy, not real happy with the reaction the Cowboys had when Andy Dalton went down. It's like, you got your main guy down and nobody's really, saying anything about doing anything about it. And this is a team that is just not very good. And it is a division rivalry. It may be a good game in that regard, but, boy, I don't see it right now. It's just seeing what the Cowboys are up to.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Your birthday wishes are coming in, Mark. Let's see. You got Cyclone Tim wishing you a happy birthday. 300 in your future, but it may take two games. That is really mean, Tim. Really, really mean. 2723, thanks you for all your radio service. Appreciate that. John, yes, sir. John on the text line talking about the Bears. Nagy needs to give up the play calling. Why do you constantly run it right at Aaron Donald? And Chuck Pagano needs to go. That's what he says.
Well, Nagy's news conference today indicated that he may well give up the play calling, and we'll see if that makes any difference. But you got to have players. The offensive line is not getting it done, hence no running game, hence no offense. And you can't rely on this defense to win football games for you much longer. Something's got to be done about the offense.
Yeah, and it's interesting. When you get people that have been long-time folks that have been around the Chicago Bears, Hub Arkush used to do Bear broadcast, as you know, Mark. Did it in the heyday with Dick Butkus and the folks. And he weighed in last night. He said he finally had seen enough. And, you know, why he was breaking down running plays, you know, critical situations. Why do you have your tackle trying to take out a corner? I mean, it was just he was breaking it down, and he was you could almost see the smoke coming from his head. It's just and I guess I have to question the same thing.
Well, Hub has seen a lot of Bears football and hence has seen a lot of frustration with that organization. We know many quarterbacks the Bears have been through. Definite mistake in the draft that in which they took Mitch Trubisky and could have had Patrick Mahomes or a couple others. That looks to be a bust. And now, you know, what do they turn to quarterback right now? They thought Nick Foles, after a good first game, came in for Trubisky and won that game. Thought he was going to have a pretty good year. May still, but last couple outings have not been very good. And, you know, the way the Bears looked last night, you know, they may be lucky to reach 500, but we shall see. But the NFL and football in general is a funny game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, when you think you've got it figured out and cornered, you do not have it figured out. 16 minutes past the hour of 3. We're going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Kirk Ferentz today, Mark, in Iowa City as Iowa gets ready for the Northwestern Wildcats. Kirk met the media and talked about looking ahead to Northwestern and also talked, of course, about the Purdue game.
He did indeed. He had a funny moment, Scott. I don't know whether you caught this. I thought it was funny, but in terms of voting, he said 2 years ago when he went to the polls, he was just a couple minutes late arriving at the polling place and had the door slammed shut on him. And, of course, then the time management jokesters come out and a comment about that. But I thought it was kind of a moment of levity there. And he said he doesn't like the fact that the players will not be able to practice on Election Day. But he would just soon practice and then bust the whole team to a polling place. He thought that would be pretty powerful. On the personnel front, it appears linebacker Jack Campbell and defensive tackle Austin Schulte will be out again this week and perhaps next week. That was Kirk's words. He talked about Peyton Ramsey, the quarterback at Northwestern, transferred from Indiana. He called him a winner. Period. And he's one of several that the Iowa defense is going to have to deal with this coming Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, and looked darn good in that Maryland game. Now, keep in mind, it's early returns, and we don't know exactly how good the Maryland Terrapins are, to be honest with you, at this point. We'll see, I guess. We'll see how it all plays out, but it's a critical game, no doubt. You're facing 0-2 if you're the Hawkeyes, if you do not see this one going in the right direction. And Northwestern is going to be a formidable foe. This, and I know people hear the word Northwestern, and they immediately go to your father's Northwestern. Pre-Pat Fitzgerald playing days, Northwestern. That is not this Northwestern. I mean, this has been an even Steven series over the last 15 years since Pat Fitzgerald has been at the helm of Northwestern. And that's weird to say, by the way. It's been that long since Fitz has been there. But They've got some of the best facilities in college football. This is a major player now as far as Power 5 football is concerned.
No doubt about it. And it's far from the teams, the matchups I used to cover in the 80s and into the 90s when you could write your game story before the kickoff. I mean, I'm almost serious about that because it was 52-3 and 49-0. And it wasn't even competitive back in those days. But Northwestern has, and Pat Fitzgerald deserves a lot of credit. A couple other coaches do as well for building that program. And they really, I wouldn't say they don't like Iowa, but Fitzgerald has had a couple bad experiences with Iowa. He had his season ended as a player.
Yep.
When in that game against Iowa. And when Iowa's on the schedule, that motivates Pat Fitzgerald. Not that he doesn't get motivated against other teams, but he sees this. He views it as a game that Northwestern can win. And they have won. It's, as you mentioned, it's been pretty even over the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Other college football news today. Even though it does not show it on their depth chart, the Wisconsin Badgers are not going to have their top quarterback. It sounds like for the next 3 weeks, they will be without their top quarterback as the young man has tested positive for COVID-19, the first big-time Big Ten player to do so. Wisconsin's got some depth issues as far as their quarterback position is concerned. Penn State's got some depth issues as far as their running backs are concerned. Top two running backs are out for the season for Penn State. And as Tom Cakert put it on his Twitter account, this is turning into, and it will be, a college football season of attrition. And I can't put it really any better than Tom did.
It will be. And the young man you're talking about is Graham Mertz.
Thank you.
The co-Big Ten offensive player of the week for Wisconsin in that opener last Friday night. Did very, very well. I'm on record as saying the Big Ten stance is too penal. Setting out a player for 21 days. I understand the cardiac testing that they want to put those kids through, and that's a good thing. But missing 3 weeks of a shortened season anyway is very penal, especially when you see across the country a guy like Nick Saban, who tests positive, negative, negative, negative four straight days. Not saying that that could be Graham Mertz's situation, but this is unfortunate for him, very unfortunate for the Wisconsin football program, and we'll see how they can plug that gap going forward.
Well, we've got some potential breaking news here, Mark. Jeff Petrikas, who covers the Wisconsin Badgers for the Milwaukee Sentinel, has tweeted out in the last couple of minutes, Badgers game at Nebraska may not be played. Stay tuned. All he put out.
Yeah, I see that, and that must be because of the depth situation at Wisconsin. There was a rumor that the backup quarterback also had tested positive. I can't confirm that. Maybe you can, Scott. But if any of the other players in that quarterback room are infected, then, yeah, it's going to affect the depth. It's going to affect the ability for Wisconsin to play that football game. So stay tuned there.
Yeah, the Big Ten – you know, it's great to have all of these great daily testing situations. But like you said, 3 weeks to be out and you get one position, such as the Wisconsin quarterbacking situation, and this is what's going to happen. And it may get rid of some problems, but it's going to present different sorts of problems and problems that the other Power Five conferences face. And with the Big Ten stance of 3 weeks, with being out, sitting out with a positive as far as COVID-19 is concerned. And there are no built-in bye weeks for the Big Ten. This will be, as they talked about earlier on with Commissioner Warren, this will be, if it is not played, a no contest. This will not be made up. And there's one off the board as far as the Big Ten is concerned.
Possibly. That game has not been called yet. Yeah. But when a beat writer tweets out that kind of information, it's out there. There's no question about it. And, I think we all knew that there would and could be issues once the season got underway. You just hope that it wouldn't reach, lengths like this or even worse. So, really the best out to Wisconsin and, whether you like them or not. And that's a tough situation.
Yeah, and you want to see everybody play. I mean, that's what you want to. You want to be meeting your opponent when they are at their best. That's the way you want it. You don't want to see anything happen to anybody else. And it looks like we could see the first domino come down. It's not confirmed as of yet, but again, one of the beat writers for Wisconsin is tweeting out that the Badger game against Nebraska is right now in jeopardy. So we'll see how it all plays out. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in. 319-366-1600. Jeff wishes you a happy birthday, Mark.
Thank you, Jeff.
98-96, does the 21-day quarantine apply to coaches and staff as well?
Now, the coaches have to sit 10 days, such as the case with Jeff Brohm, who is expected to be back and thinks he will be back tomorrow, I believe, or certainly soon thereafter. Why the difference? Don't ask me.
92-67, can COVID in 2020 be over already? I wish you could. But I don't foresee that happening anytime soon, so.
Let me back up on that. The 21-day, and we've talked about this before, it's so those players can be tested for heart issues.
Yes.
Which cases, the players have had issues in that regard. So I suppose that's the difference in the 11 days of quarantine.
Yeah. 319-366-1600, 327. And we'll keep you updated if something comes down as far as breaking news with the Nebraska-Wisconsin game. But we're going to take a break, come back, and our friend Cal Eldred will join us. And we'll talk about the 2020 Fall Classic, the World Series Game 6 coming your way tonight right here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No, you actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com, especially this fall. With all the debris collection, you'll find out about any delays or schedule changes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
They've disappeared in droves. 30,000 Iowa jobs in two decades, all lost to outsourcing. And the same corporate special interests that are taking our jobs to China and Mexico have funded Joni Ernst's campaign. Why? Maybe because Ernst voted to protect tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas. That's right. Instead of protecting us, Ernst rewarded companies that lay us off. Ernst even voted to kill a bipartisan measure to provide job retraining for American workers. And during the pandemic, Ernst voted for a $500 billion slush fund for corporate special interests, like the ones funding her campaign, which would hand our tax dollars to CEOs as they laid off even more workers. If we want to keep Iowa jobs in Iowa, we need to keep Joni Ernst out of Washington. Paid for by DSCC, dsscc.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. DSCC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. True Bolt Door Locks provide you with quality products for security at an affordable price. They offer a full line of locks in a variety of styles and finishes. All True Bolt lock sets are 11% off. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through Saturday, October 31st. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
If Teresa Greenfield and the Democrats take over, the following will take effect. $4 trillion in job-killing taxes, government takeover of healthcare, packing the courts, dismantling police departments, surrender to the mob, surrender to China, and a march toward socialism. Teresa Greenfield and the left, they'll tear this country apart. Stop the liberal takeover. Vote Joni Ernst.
Paid for by Iowa Values Action, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.iowavaluesaction.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
What does my family think about stiff and uncomfortable shoes?
Ew.
That's going to be a no from me.
Forget about it.
And that's why we wear Skechers Stretch Fit shoes. Because Skechers Stretch Fit are made from a breathable, soft knit that stretches and moves with you, giving you a comfortable, perfect fit with every step. And not only do Stretch Fit comfortably hug your feet, but they also have Skechers' famous air-cooled memory foam. Plus, they're machine washable and they're affordable. Find styles for men, women, and kids at a Skechers store near you, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
While serving in Iraq, an IED took both my legs, but it didn't take my spirit.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Greg Gadsden, Army veteran.
DAV helps veterans and their families get the benefits they've earned.
Today, I'm an entrepreneur, photographer, and public speaker.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories, great and small.
My victory is just being the best that I can be.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Back with you on the Gym Class at 3:31 here on KGYM on the Tuesday edition of the program. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. And Buttons is working his magic. We're good. Okay. Mark, he was detained and now he's not detained. He wanted to talk baseball with us. So he's here. Cal Eldred, the pitching coach with the Kansas City Royals, joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Last I heard, you were detained, and you were thinking hopefully 15 minutes, so you're not detained anymore.
Yeah, no, some things you really got to wiggle yourself out of. But no, it's just another one of those things that when life is busy, you got to deal with some things at that moment. So we've got her taken care of.
Well, great. Now we can talk baseball.
You bet.
I want to talk game four, Cal, because it was, if it wasn't an extremely well-played game, it was one of the most exciting, and all of us have seen a lot of World Series baseball. That was crazy.
It was crazy. It was, and it was interesting. Obviously, myself, I know Brett Phillips really well. And for something to happen to somebody, or if it happened to Brett like that, it doesn't surprise you if you know him. You know, that's one of those deals where, and Brett said it, you know, it's one of those deals where he's a guy who knows he's probably there and was a part of that club right now to play defense, maybe to get in and steal a base, and obviously defense late in the game. I know metrics, analytics love Brett in the outfield with his arm and the way he can run and go get the ball. But all that craziness, and fortunately for Brett, Kenley Jansen made a mistake and he didn't miss it. And the rest of the story, I don't know quite how to explain all that went on the bases and throws.
Well, I can. It's lack of fundamentals. But we move on. I will say this. I think that the end of game four was kind of a microcosm of this entire series, because it may not be the most well-played or prettiest series, but boy, it's been exciting. I mean, there have been some great moments between these two teams, and I think it's been a very, very fine series so far.
I would have to agree. I think at times we've seen some really good starting pitching. Probably not as not as much as either side would like to have. But when the teams, whoever has gotten some depth from their or some distance from their starting pitching, they've done really well. But yet, I don't know, guys, and I know Mark, you and I kind of shot a text back and forth. I don't know how long these bullpen guys can keep getting people out. We've seen some of them get bruised already, but man, two more games of going into the pens this early is going to make it really tough to not give up some runs.
Yeah, last I looked, Blake Snell was going for the Rays. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as I know, that's what I see.
Yeah, and Dodgers going with largely a bullpen game. Dave Roberts has said Bueller and Kershaw are among those who would not be available tonight. So I think your point is well taken on that. And you really alluded to that in a text we exchanged. I don't remember what game it was, but the bullpens being taxed, Cal. And that's something both managers are going to have to be very careful of.
Well, you saw early in the earlier series that even in the five-game series, you saw that if a team had to go to their bullpen in game one or game two, and I think you and I had that discussion during game two for the Dodgers, but it's really, really hard for these guys are bullpen guys for a reason, and that's why it's hard for them to face a team 5 out of 7 days. 5 out of 6 days, 4 out of 5 days. We know that when we're in a series. You're in a four-game series, you just as soon use somebody else, especially if they're facing the same guys over and over. And some people say, well, that pitcher's better, he should get him out every time. But, I mean, those guys are relievers for a reason. They're short stint, maybe two-inning guys, and you hope that you leave town before the other team has seen them too often.
Yeah, very much so.
Well, let me follow up on that, Scott, if I might.
Yeah, go ahead.
Take us inside, Cal, not only Scott and I, but our listeners, inside the dugout, the dynamic between the pitching coach and the manager or maybe other folks on the bench. I suppose it depends on the individuals to a certain extent, meaning the manager and the pitching coach, but who knows more about a move?
Well, it's interesting because it depends on how teams do it. You see a lot in Kevin Cash. You'll see him pick up the phone and talk to the bullpen coach, and there'll be communication that way. At times, you'll see the pitching coach for the Rays pick up the phone also. But Kevin Cash does a lot, so a lot of that communication comes from the manager on that side. Whereas, you know, you don't see that often on the Dodgers side. Of course, they've had, Rick Honeycutt there for years, who's not there now, but they have communication lots of times between the manager and the bullpen. Most of the time, you'll see the pitching coach calling down to the bullpen once the communication between the manager and pitching coach has already happened. But I think that the big deal is who knows best before the game even happens, and that's the thing. There's a plan made. We'd like to see, Kershaw face go as deep as he can. It was interesting. They said they wanted him to face 21 hitters. Well, that's, okay, that's not quite three times around the order. You have a starting pitcher, you want him to face 29 guys or 27 guys and get out of there. you hope it's in 9 innings. It doesn't always work out that way. But when you have a plan ahead of time, the manager and the pitching coach has and the bullpen coaches have already gone over a plan as to who they want to face who, then it comes down to the manager's gut feeling. It is ultimately the manager's decision. That's the way Mike and I do it. He's the one that's held on the carpet for that. And so ultimately it's his decision as to who's going to be in the game and out of the game.
Cal Elder joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class at 3:38. And unfortunately, I was at the John Wall Field on Friday night when Cal texted me, a bunt, we have a bunt. And unfortunately, I didn't get to see it, or at least in an attempt at a sacrifice bunt anyway. But I think this series, like we talked about, has had a little bit of everything. You've had home runs. You've had a little bit of small ball thrown in. You've had some bullpen games. You've had some bullpens do really well. You've had bullpens blow it. it's just been, as far as theater is concerned, it's been a very good series. Now, how is this going to play out in the next two games? What's Tampa got to do tonight? Snell's got to go deep into this game. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think with Tampa, if they can get Snell, if he can pitch them into the sixth inning, then I think they're into a pretty good situation. If he gets them into the seventh inning, then they're in a really good spot. And I mean with the lead or tied. The problem is, you know, the Dodgers hung on to that 4-2 lead the other night in game five. The Dodgers needed that just to prove to themselves that they can do that. And now it's just they're back on an even playing field. So I think that if Snell gets them deep, and deep, maybe if the bullpen only having to get one out or two outs in the sixth, they're in a pretty good position. He's been throwing a lot of pitches in the first three, four innings in games. He can't have that kind of repeat performance.
Through five games, Cal, there's been a lot of outstanding individual performances. Would you say Corey Seager is the leader for the MVP right now?
Man, I'll tell you what, he's a guy you do not want to pitch to at this point in time. And, I would have to agree with that. I think, I know there was an MLB article about would Kershaw be the guy that would be the MVP. Maybe if he comes in and pitches a couple innings and shuts it down for the World Series win tonight or tomorrow night, I could see that happening too.
And I don't think anybody would be upset about it. Yeah, I think the world is starting to hear more. I mean, baseball people knew about Corey Seager, and not a big secret, but the guy I think that has really jumped up, not Rosarena, obviously. I mean, he's had a great postseason, but Margot, I think, is the guy that people are going to really take notice of from Tampa. He's just a really, really good outfielder. Can hit for power, can run a little bit. I've been really impressed with him.
Yeah, you talk about Margot and Rosarena. You're talking about two players who can play defense. They're fast, they're quick, and Rosarena obviously doesn't miss too many fastballs. And Margot just has wreaked havoc when he's been on the bases too. So these guys have been hand in hand and really showing their talent. And those players are hard to come by. I mean, Margot being over in San Diego, Rosarena, I've been mentioned by multiple Cardinal fans who are like, why did we get rid of that guy? You hand it to these players. I was thinking about watching the game, this is the World Series. These guys are really doing this on the biggest stage. And I think that's what's really has impressed me.
Cal, Commissioner Rob Manfred has kind of weighed in on looking to 2021, and we've seen a lot of rules experimentation this year with the expanded playoffs, the extra innings runner on second base, the designated hitter in both leagues. What would you like to see preserved?
Well, I think man, I'm afraid that the DH is here to stay in both leagues. I like the National League style of baseball, but I think the fans want the DH. I think the fans, also kind of like, I don't know that they want to stick around for 14 or 15 or 16 innings. So I think you put the pressure on the manager and the pitching coach and the defense and all the rest of the coaching staff when you have put the guy on second base in the 10th inning. It puts pressure on the hitters too, but it also, it saves arms and it saves a lot of pitches. So I got a feeling both of those rules will probably stick around whether they're that popular or not. I kind of like the fact that we can just concentrate on our pitchers pitching and not have to worry about them getting themselves hurt trying to bunt. Let's put it that way, Scott.
You okay with expanded playoffs?
I do like the playoffs. I think they'll probably pull it back a couple teams. I think it was really interesting because you saw some teams that had to decide, are we going to pull the trigger on a trade or are we just going to stand pat? And are we good enough? Teams are going to construct their rosters from day one in a 162-game season, possibly for the playoffs. So those are things that change it. I don't know that we have to have – I think you pull back a couple teams and you still have, you know, a smaller expanded playoffs. But I kind of like it, especially with the with no off days.
So you'd have six teams instead of eight. You're thinking what in each league, and you'd go the three winners, and then what next three best records you're looking at, or how would you do it? And then would you give the top two seeds a bye?
Yeah, I think that's how you do it, Scott. There's no question that would work out well, but. I also, if they want to do it the way they did it this year, I think that's good too. I think the fans enjoyed it. It's a lot of baseball in a hurry. As far as, and I'm basically, if I agree to the expanded playoffs like we did this year, and we get in the playoffs, I mean, you're just drowning yourself with game preparation from a coach's standpoint. You know what? It's the excitement of being in the playoffs, and I think the fans really enjoy it.
Well, now, Mark, if I may, with that being said, do we need to cut back? I know next year Rob Manfred is looking probably, the way it sounds, at not a 162-game season, maybe cutting back a little bit. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, you guys are going to know quicker than anybody else out there, certainly. But I would not be opposed to going, you know, cutting back a week, going to 154, or whatever the case may be, and expanding the playoffs. Now, keep in mind, we're not going to go every day next year, you know, we hope anyway, like we are in the bubbles this year. So that's going to be the one difference.
Well, I think the reality that was pushed out there this year, and guys understood it, was that I say guys, I think the Players Association understands this, the owners, the commissioner's office, they understand that there is a massive amount of money made for all those groups in the playoffs. And that was the one main part of this season that they wanted to make sure happened. And so let's just be smart about it. I agree. Go to a shorter season, maybe even shorter than 154. But I think that's – and I you know, you'll hopefully you see injuries come down. Hopefully you see maybe costs come down for teams too, but the fans want to see the playoffs. And if you need to expand it, and to expand it, you got to shorten the season. I don't think there's going to be a fan that's going to argue about that.
Cal, one plus for you this year, and Josh Christensen did a nice job, KCRG, on reporting a story that you were at least allowed to be around your son CJ during this season, and actually got to see him pitch for the first time in a year. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I remember I was walking out down in spring training, and if anybody could kind of, I guess, trying to give you a visual, it's, you're about 300 yards away from where the minor league guys are playing most of the time. And I remember walking out onto our side and I looked up out of the corner of my eye, and I could see a kid throwing up on field six, which is quite about that distance. And I went, I know that delivery. sometimes you see them from a distance, but it was really cool being able to spend that time with CJ, and even Luke was home rehabbing from Tommy John surgery, and then seeing some of the other kids. I know the Vanscoy kids were back. Tyler Crapley, you know, who's with the Nationals, was back and doing his thing. And since then, now Tyler has signed with the Royals. So it's kind of really a cool deal, but being able to spend that time with CJ that I knew I probably would never get was really cool. But you know what, guys? I'm going to tell you, when he went back, there was a lot of pressure on the Major League pitching coach that he sent his own son back better than than he came home. so fortunately, we got a both CJ and I got a thumbs up for what we worked on while he was home.
Good. And well, we hope he and the rest of the folks, you know, whether it be college or minor league baseball, get a chance to show their wares next year. I mean, there's still, who knows how this is going to be, but you got to think that no one wants minor league baseball in whatever way, shape, or form it's going to be next year to be shut down for the second year in a row. I mean, think of all of the problems that would create I mean, not only economically with the ball clubs themselves, but with these young ball players, you know, basically not getting another year of playing.
Yeah, we've had everybody got a year older in the minor leagues, and you guys, when you're around a group of professional baseball players, everybody wants to take their birth certificate and lower a year or two, or three.
Never happens.
And it's tough. So these guys all lost a year. They can't lose another year. Plus, you know what? We're not going to be able to field a major league team if we don't have young guys playing baseball, whether that's college kids, especially our professional players. They need to play baseball. And whether that's, you know, cut back a little bit, then we'll do what we have to do. But I know these minor league players need to play.
Very true. Very true. And what do you think? Is it end tonight, or do we see a game seven, a glorious game seven coming up tomorrow?
Well, I'm going to add one more point to that last thing, is that it's cities like Cedar Rapids having a minor league team too. They miss baseball. There's fans that missed it a lot.
Yep.
So we need, that's a huge reason why we need to get minor league baseball playing again. But I'm going to tell you, you know, I picked Tampa. So I guess I'm saying I picked a game, seven games like Mark did. But boy, the Dodgers have a chance. They can swing the hammer and finish it tonight. I still say it's going to come down to the starting pitching. If Snell can go deep into the game, Tampa will win tonight, and then who knows what will happen tomorrow night.
I think it's going seven. I think it's going seven. I don't like the Dodgers' bullpen situation going into this one tonight against Snell, so we'll see. But I've been wrong before.
Yeah, watch Gratterall pitch a couple scoreless innings and strike out six. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's good. Not
yes,
too bad. Not too bad anyway. All right, Cal, we'll talk one more time, hopefully next week, and we'll let you get back to it. And thanks as always. Appreciate it. And enjoy the baseball tonight.
Will do. You guys too.
All right. Cal Eldred, the pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals, joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We'll take a break at 3:51, back with more after this.
Time to refresh your space? Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help with impeccable, well-born cabinetry. The Alexander design team respects and can work with any budget. And in addition to stunning kitchens, they also create home offices, mudrooms, laundry rooms, bathrooms, even living rooms with built-ins. Design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
If Teresa Greenfield and the Democrats take over, the following will take effect. $4 trillion in job-killing taxes, government takeover of healthcare, packing the courts, dismantling police departments, surrender to the mob, surrender to China, and a march toward socialism. Teresa Greenfield and the left, they'll tear this country apart. Stop the liberal takeover. Vote Joni Ernst.
Paid for by Iowa Values Action, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.iowavaluesaction.com.
While serving in Iraq, an IED took both my legs, but it didn't take my spirit.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Greg Gadsden, Army veteran.
DAV helps veterans and their families get the benefits they've earned.
Today, I'm an entrepreneur, photographer, and public speaker.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories, great and small.
My victory is just being the best that I can be.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ask for it at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for a table at a restaurant.
Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party... Oh, there you are.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
It's time for some straight talk.
Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data, plus 20 gigs of hotspot, 100 gigs of cloud storage, and more. All on the best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See Mobile Protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/straighttalk. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Back with the other gym class on KGYM. Thanks for joining us here on this Tuesday. Coming up tomorrow, Chris Liss of RotoWire.com joins us, and your fantasy football questions are welcome. That's presented by I'm On Communications. Game 6 of the World Series tonight, 6:30 pregame, all four of our frequencies right here on KGYM. Nothing new, again, as far as the Wisconsin-Nebraska game. No new news as far as that is concerned. Again, there are reports out there that the game may be in jeopardy because of COVID problems with the Wisconsin Badgers. But as of right now, still going on. We had the news earlier, Mark, about College Game Day going to Augusta National. I don't know where they're going to set up. There are no patrons at Augusta National this year due to COVID-19. They're going to play the Masters sans patrons. You cannot say fans or a gallery, Mark. As you know, it is patrons. But that's, I guess, good news. There is some bad news coming today from Augusta National that Fred Ridley, the chairman of the Masters, has announced that the par 3 contest will be canceled for 2020.
Well, that's a fun event, but I can understand that. Just put the game day crew on the par 3 course, and that'll be fun.
I don't know where they'll be. If they'll be like in Butler Cabin or exactly. I mean, if you're at Augusta, you got to be outside, right?
Yes, you do.
I mean,
and I want to read more about this because it's an interesting combination of things, and be interesting. One more reason to watch the Masters, that's for sure.
Do have some other breaking news coming from the state of Illinois today, Mark. Just in, Michael O'Brien, who covers high school sports for the up in Chicago for the Sun-Times, the state of Illinois has put basketball to a higher risk, along with wrestling, and the sports have been put on hold. So get ready for more moving vans coming across the Mississippi River very soon of wrestlers and basketball players, perhaps, into the state of Iowa.
You better move your whole family. We've seen what's happened in that regard.
And it's too bad. Now it's two levels above where they need to have it to play competitive sports. So that's where that stands. Todd and Alex will keep you up to date on what's happening with Wisconsin and their game with Nebraska. Again, there are reports that that game may be postponed. Nothing concrete as of yet. Audio from Kirk Ferentz coming up as well with the program here in just a little bit. Have a good rest of your birthday, Mark. We'll talk tomorrow.
We'll do. Will do, Scott. Thanks very much.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody. We will talk with you tomorrow. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next right here on KGYM.
College football, it's the game you wake up early on Saturdays for, even though kickoff isn't until 7. The game where the Goodyear blimp becomes a Hall of Famer. The game that goes just beyond school, spirit, fandom, or love of the sport. It's the game where the comebacks happen. It's the game